Great. Well, thank you very much for the service so far and welcoming us back, and really appreciated the prayers. And we had a great holiday. That was an answer to prayer. It really was, to go all the way to Australia and fall in love with that country. And the time in Myanmar, just greetings from Pastor Go. In Myanmar, we had a really interesting, really good time there. There's a church of about 50. They take care of about 30 children. And they also had a conference there. It was a couple of guys traveled 20 hours just to be with us and meet with us. And we were able to be a blessing financially. So that's just a brief report, because I know people were praying, some people were giving. So I didn't want to neglect to say that. I heard we've actually completed a series on the book of Psalms. And Ken said to me, oh, he was all disappointed we finished Psalms, you know. But I've got some good news for you. We're going into the Gospel of Mark. And you thought Psalms was good? Wow, Gospel of Mark. Fasten your seatbelts. Liz said to me, how could you finish Psalms? There's 150 Psalms, and we didn't systematically cover every single Psalm, but that's okay. We're encouraging people to read the Psalms, pray the Psalms. A Psalm a day keeps the doctor away. There's something healthy and wholesome with the book of Psalms, full of humanity, full of encouragement, full of real stuff. And really the goal of looking at Psalms was partly to increase our devotional life with Jesus and to increase the worship life of the church. And I hope that something of that has happened. And I encourage people to keep reading the Psalms. Read a Psalm a day. If there's nothing else you can read, if you're too tired, too weary to read the Bible, at least read a Psalm a day and expect God to speak to you and meet with you. But now we're shifting the emphasis slightly, and I find it very hard to come up with titles, so I thought I'd use Laura's first song as the title. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, with the cross before me, the world behind me. Is there something in the Gospel of Mark that can help us follow Jesus in a fresh way, in a better way, in a more complete way? The answer is yes. The title I did actually have was Prepare to be Shaken and Stirred for an Action-Packed Life of Following Jesus. Prepare to be shaken and stirred for an action-packed life for following Jesus. Some people have burdens in life. Some people have a burden for a particular people group. It was very interesting meeting a couple of Aborigines in Australia and just the problems they're having with mental health and alcohol problems. And I know that there are people who have burdens for particular people groups, and that's good. Some people have burdens for ethical issues like abortion, euthanasia. Could I be personal and say what one of my biggest burdens is? One of my biggest burdens is that God's people would mature and that every single member of the body of Christ would feel called, chosen, and active as a disciple of Jesus and have a gift mix and a sense of purpose. That the days of being petty are over. The days of nitpicking are over. We have decided to follow Jesus. And ordinary people everywhere feeling that they can be used by God where you live, where you work, where you have your being. I was thinking like this, if Jesus was in my shoes, how would he live my life? If Jesus lived in my street, how would he relate to the neighbors? If Jesus had my job, what sort of GP would he be? If Jesus was playing football, what sort of footballer he would be? He wouldn't have to be the best in the world, but he would carry something in terms of the presence of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus lived in this city, how would he live and move and have his being? If Jesus was on the cleaning rota, how would he clean the church? If Jesus was teaching the Sunday school, how would he teach them? I really want to be like Jesus. The Spirit he's given us, this is the Spirit of Christ. And I think the Gospel of Mark is going to help us be shaken and stirred for an action-packed life of following Jesus in our time-space world. That's my burden. I also have another burden, and that is to do justice to introducing the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read a few verses in a minute or two. How many times have you read the Gospel of Mark? Maybe once, maybe 10, maybe 20. I've probably read it 100 times. And what would it be like to read the Gospel of Mark for the very first time? And to hear some of the stories for the very first time? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? How can I do justice, Lord, to this Gospel of Mark? It's the earliest gospel, and it was written by Mark. There's a surprise. Mark was not an apostle, but he was a friend of Peter, and he worked with Peter. He was a cousin of Barnabas, and he also worked with Paul. He was probably an eyewitness to some of the things that Jesus said and done. And for some reason, God the Holy Spirit has chosen Mark to pen this gospel. And it's an interesting gospel. And I hope that, like we read a psalm a day, I would encourage us as a church, read a couple of chapters of the Gospel of Mark every week for the next period of time. But try to read it as if it's the first time you're reading it. And read it with this in mind. I want to be like this Jesus that we're going to read about. So I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction to hopefully whet the appetite for the Gospel of Mark. I hope I can do this justice. First thing I'm going to say is, why has the Holy Spirit given us four Gospels? One would have been enough. Why not two, three, or five? There's only four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a deliberate, intentional plan by the Holy Spirit to give us four Gospels. If we didn't have the Gospel of Mark, what would we lack? It's a good question. I came across a wee illustration from David Pawson very recently. Imagine a celebrity. Imagine a footballer, a pop singer, a politician that you respect. And imagine there were three books written about that person. One of the books was written while that person was active and alive. And they wrote a book basically describing what that person did. 10, 15 years goes by and someone else writes a different book, not about what they did, but about what they said and what their values were. It would be a book about the same person, but different. What if 40 years later, after the person had died, somebody who knew them really intimately wrote a book about the type of person they were? You have the same person. One book is about what he did, one book is about what he said, and one book was about the intimacy of his essence, of his person. Three books about the same person, but very different purpose. In a way, the Gospel of Mark, the earliest gospel, is a story about what Jesus did, his actions. And by the way, actions are extremely important. The Gospel of Matthew and Luke particularly give us a record of what Jesus said and taught. And the Gospel of John gives us an intimate revelation to the depths of his essence as a person. He was actually God manifested in the flesh. So the Gospel of Mark is an action book, a doing book. That's why I think it's a good title. Get ready to be shaken and stirred for an action-packed Christian life. It's not enough to talk. It's not enough to believe, in a sense. We have to demonstrate by our living the reality of what it means to follow Jesus. But there's more. I think the Holy Spirit has given us four Gospels, partly to emphasize four aspects of how fantastic Jesus Christ is. So the Gospel of Matthew is especially emphasizing that Jesus is the King of the Jews, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, the Messiah is coming, the King is coming. So the Gospel of Matthew starts with a genealogy. Why? Because genealogies are important if you're a king. And Matthew proves that Jesus could be traced back to David and to Abraham. The Gospel of Luke, however, emphasizes that Jesus is not only a king, he was a perfect human being. He was a perfect man. He was, yes, the Son of God, but he was a perfect man. And so the Gospel of Luke has a different genealogy that actually goes through Mary's line all the way back, not to David, not to Abraham, back to Adam. And God is telling us there is something about this person that he is a perfect human being. The Gospel of John is mysterious. There is no genealogy. There is no record of his ancestry. Because the Gospel of John is telling us there's something more to Jesus. He's not just a man. He's not just a king. He's actually God. He's divine. And that's why John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What about Mark? What is Mark's emphasis about Jesus? Prepare to be shaken and stirred for an action-packed life. Imagine a president who takes a job as a janitor. Imagine a king who takes a job cleaning the streets. Imagine an undercover boss working in the factory. Imagine an undercover millionaire who marries a girl from the inner city. Jesus was also a servant. He was the slave savior. And the Gospel of Mark is opening this up to us. This wonderful person, he's not just a king. He's not just a perfect man. He's not just God and divine. He came not to be served, but to serve. He became a slave savior for us. And that's why in the Book of Mark, there is no genealogy. Why? Slaves are irrelevant. Doesn't matter who their father is, who their grandfather is. They're a slave. In the thinking of the Middle East, first century, slaves were not even regarded as persons sometimes. They were property. But he came as a slave. He came as a servant. That shakes me up and stirs me up. There's something about being a servant that is very godlike, very Christ-like, and very significant. You see, the Book of Mark, it's full of action because a slave was known by what he did, not by what he said. A slave was known by what he did, not by his identity and his person. And so Mark's gospel is full of action. And you'll read many, many times this word, immediately Jesus left, immediately Jesus went somewhere else. He went and healed this person. It's a beautiful picture of an incredible person who wasn't just a king, though he was and is. He's the King of Kings. He's not just a perfect human being, though he is. He's the sweetest person that's ever. And he's not just divine, but he's also a servant. And the Gospel of Mark starts geographically in Jordan, which is the lowest part of Israel, but it ends in heaven at the ascension. So the servant starts in Jordan, comes out of obscurity. We don't know his genealogy. Doesn't look like a king, certainly doesn't look like he's divine. And he serves, and God the Father raises the servant up and seats him at the right hand of the Father at the highest place of authority. God loves servants. God exalts servants. And you see, I think the Gospel of Mark is going to be interesting to see how Jesus lived and acted and modeled something for us. And Mark, he wastes no time. If you notice at the beginning of Mark, he just doesn't waste any time. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written, John the Baptist on the scene, John appears, and then Jesus comes from Nazareth and was baptized. And immediately he gets tempted and tested, and then he starts to minister and serve and help people and heal people and deliver people. And it's fantastic. So I'm trying to whet your appetite. I don't know if I succeeded, but please read this book. In house groups, your families, pray it, read it afresh. Read it in different versions. It's an action-packed, shock and awe book, right? Now, we were in a place called Fremantle. Anybody heard of Fremantle Prison? Very famous prison, and it's in Perth. And the way Australia was built, and one of the things that colonized Australia was the British sent prisoners to Australia. And there's a prison called Fremantle, and some of these prisoners that were sent to Fremantle stole a loaf of bread and ended up 7 years in this prison. And we visited the prison, and we saw the cells. Do you remember, Daniel? And we saw it was amazing just to be there and to see some of the what had happened. What was really interesting is I could have walked through that prison with Heather and Rebecca and Daniel and just looked at the walls and looked at the pictures and probably enjoyed it. But lo and behold, they had a woman there who would be our guide. And this woman, I'm convinced she was an actress. She's very dramatic, you know, and very poetic. And she told story after story after story. And I tell you, this prison came alive. We could feel the pain of those prisoners. We went into a cell and she turned the lights out. Solitary confinement for 10 seconds. And then she said there would be people be in here for as much as 24 hours. And the longest, how many months was the longest person in solitary confinement? Can't quite remember. But the way she animated the story brought the thing alive. And there's two ways you can read the Gospel of Mark, is what I learned. You can read it like this. In the beginning, Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. As it is written, as I the prophet, behold, I send a messenger before your face, who prepare your way. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is the way this girl would read it. In the beginning, at the start. Let's go back to the beginning. Very important. The gospel, good news, the announcement. The greatest announcement ever made from the highest authority about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Someone is coming. God is going to come. He's going to come. The kingdom's coming. And believe it or not, that voice, that cry in the wilderness says, get ready, because it's very, very close. In fact, it is now. He's here. He's coming. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. This is the best day ever to be alive. I have an announcement to make. The voice is about to speak. Here it comes. John appears. Not in the temple. In the desert. That's shocking. Not in the cultural place. Not in Jerusalem. He's meant to be a priest, for goodness sake. And there he is, dressed like a maniac in the wilderness. And he calls himself a voice. And he says, get your act together. Now is the time. I prefer that way. But God forbid that we would read any part of the Bible as if it's dead. As if it's not the Word of God. And the story she told some of them I think were exaggerated stories. This story is true. This is the greatest story ever told. So I think it's amazing. I want you to notice as you read the Gospel of Mark, shocking things. Here's a few shocking things from the Gospel of Mark. Servanthood. Jesus is not ashamed to be the suffering servant. That is shocking. That is absolutely shocking. In the Gospel of Mark, there's an emphasis on action, action, action. Words and talk are not enough. That is shocking. What you do is important. Jesus was a doer of the Father's will. John the Baptist is a shocking looking person. I would have a lot of reservations allowing him to preach. He's explosive. I'm shocked how much healing was part of Jesus' ministry. A huge part of Jesus' ministry. You can go to Bible college, theological college. You can hear the best expositional teachers in the world, and you'd think that healing was a minor subject. Mark is telling us he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I have decided to follow that Jesus. He's not a comfortable Jesus. He's a radical Jesus. He's an active Jesus. I'm shocked. Deliverance is a huge part of Jesus' ministry. Casting out evil spirits. I'm shocked. He touches lepers, which is the equivalent of those that are considered untouchable, unclean, dangerous. He goes around touching lepers. I said, I challenge you, find a leper and touch them. Be like Jesus. Well, we don't have leprosy in Belfast. Find someone with AIDS. Find someone who's broken. Find someone who's a widow. Find someone who feels like they're rejected, who feels nobody, feels like they are. Find somebody. Find a leper and touch them. That's the nature of this Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel, it's so shocking. In the first few chapters, he ends up so popular. The crowds are coming. And then suddenly it all changes. The opposition grows. And then he ends up crucified. It's shocking. There was a shocking event where his mommy and his brothers and sisters wanted to talk to him. And he said, no, my family are those who do the will of God. That is absolutely shocking. In the Middle East, family was everything. And Jesus said, there's something more important than soul ties and human family, the kingdom of God. And the most shocking thing of all is such a servant, such a Jesus, such a healer, such a deliverer, such a toucher of lepers, and this incredible, sweet, beautiful person. Most of the book deals with the last week of his life. That is absolutely shocking. And the climax of the book was Jesus dying on the cross. That is absolutely shocking. That's why, church, never forget the cross. Never forget the blood. That's why it is important to break bread regularly, lest we forget that the climax of Jesus' earthly life was not a great healing miracle, was not the great preaching, but it was the death on the cross. That was the purpose of his coming. The climax of his servanthood was dying on the cross. That is so shocking. Mark begins with one. This is also shocking in a good sense as well. The Gospel of Mark starts with one preacher. And in Mark 16, you have many preachers spreading the gospel. The Gospel of Mark starts with a voice, and it ends, go into the whole earth and tell every creature the gospel. So it's an incredible book from start to finish. What difference does this make to our lives? This is my final point. When we read Scripture, preach Scripture, teach Scripture, study Scripture, if it doesn't lead to life change, it's a waste of time. The Bible itself says if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself. Let's not be deceived. Let's read this book and ask ourselves, what does it mean in terms of action, application, and practice? And just to finish, here are some of my final statements as to what I think life change occurs if we really treat this as the word of God, if this is God speaking, if this is Jesus, our model, our example. If we're going to follow Jesus, no turning back, the world behind me, the cross before me, live like as Jesus lived, then the practical applications include the following real quick: a high value of servanthood and action. We were so touched in Australia, a widow, who's actually your aunt, Daniel, took us in for a few days, wouldn't let us stay in a hotel, wouldn't let us go out and buy meals, just made us breakfast every morning, provided food for us. And I thought, hospitality is powerful, significant. Practical things, the small things are the big things. Visiting someone is very significant. Young man, evangelist, traveled 20 hours to be with us. And of course, I'm getting all, God, how do you make it worth his while? Can I pay you to come, you know? We are so, in a sense, conditioned to be impressed with the wrong kind of things. Visiting someone is incredibly important. Face to face. So that's the practical application. And seeing the high value of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the cross, never taking for granted the cross, never forgetting the price he paid. John the Baptist, what difference does it make when John the Baptist was saying things like, repent and be baptized, get ready, the Lord is coming. I think the application is, Stephen, I'm going to preach to myself. Stephen, catch yourself on. Change your life. Repent of what you need to repent from. Don't make a career of unforgiveness. Let's forgive now. Don't make a career of being a backslider. If John the Baptist was the voice prophesied, then John the Baptist was saying to the people, this is the time and the generation of God's move. Get in on it. And terminate the old life. Bury the old life. And that was the significance of baptism. Maybe some people need to actually ask, do you need to be baptized? Baptism was a burial of the old life, a termination of the old life. So be baptized. That was a shocking thing for the Jews, by the way, because they were already God's people. They were holy, and it was Gentiles you baptized. They could become a Jew by being baptized. And here's John telling them all, catch yourselves on, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says in the scripture that all the country of Judea and Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him. That's an incredible, shocking statement. And so I think John's message today is, I would put it in this word. Catch yourself on. Are you in or out? Do you want to follow Jesus or not? Sort it out. Get on board. Get on track. Be part of the most stirring, shaking, action-packed life possible, following Jesus Christ. So that's an introduction to Mark. So, I have to close the meeting now, don't I? Or, yeah, I have some notices as well. Let me just pray. I never quite know how to terminate a meeting when you sort of preach that. And Lord, very simply, Lord, just asked that there will be a deeper level of following you brought into being, particularly as we wrestle and speak and think and pray and reflect on what's written in the Gospel of Mark, Lord. Lord, it hasn't escaped my notice and hopefully all our notice that some of the things I said have already been said in the early part of this service. And I think when you repeat yourself, Lord, when you underline something, Lord, we really want to take notice of that. And we just want to thank you that our Jesus is worthy of worship, Lord. Not only because he's a king, not only because he's divine, the Son of God, not only because he was perfect in his humanity, but because he was the most incredible helper, servant, a servant king, a slave savior. We're absolutely, utterly grateful to you, Lord. And I just pray you'd raise the level of our living, raise the level of our worship, raise the level of our praying in the light of that, Lord. And Lord, because you were the healer and the deliverer, Lord, we just pray you'd release healing where it's needed to anyone in this room, Lord. Release freedom and liberty for anyone who's oppressed or depressed, Lord. Just with a word, you could do it, Lord. And we just thank you for this time together, Lord. If there are things to be followed through because of this message, Lord, we just pray that you would ensure that that happens, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.